ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 17 टेक्स्ट 9 16 I was given 16 and I prepared for 16. I can speak on 16. Okay, Prabhu, would you mind? There's some notes in my books there. I forgot to bring them. Chapter 16, verses 9 to 10. Will that be okay? 16. Yeah. Okay, because this is a prose, so what's the system here? Do you read the whole prose? Or I read it, I read the translation, yeah? Yeah. Just read the prose. Okay. Text 9. Evam dakshanen ilavritam nishido hemakuto himalayati pragayata yatha niladayo ayut yojanet sedha harivarsham kimpurush bharatanam yatha sankhyam. Translation. Similarly, south of ilavrit verse and extending from east to west are three great mountains named from north to south, Nishad, Hemakut, and Himalaya. Each of them is 10,000 yojanas, 80,000 miles high. They mark the boundaries of the three varshas named Harivarsha, Kimpurushvarsha, and Bharatvarsha, India. So at least we can repeat the translation. So please repeat. Similarly, south of Ilavrit verse and extending from east to west are three great mountains named from north to south, Nishad, Hemakut, and Himalaya. Each of them is 10,000 yojanas or 80,000 miles high. They mark the boundaries of the three varshas named Harivarsh, Kimpurushvarsh, and Bharatvarsh, India. Now I'll read text 9. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Tathayevo ilavrittam aparena purvena cha malyavad gandhamadan au nila nishad ayato dui sahasram prapratitu ketimal bhadrashavyo simanam vidhate. Translation. In the same way, west and east of Ilavrit verse are two great mountains named Malyavan and Gandhamadan respectively. These two mountains, which are 2,000 yojanas, 16,000 miles high, extend as far as Nil Mountain in the north and Nishad in the south. They indicate the borders of Ilavartvars and also the Varshas known as Ketumal and Bhadrashva. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, there are so many mountains even on this planet Earth. We do not think that the measurements of all of them have actually been calculated. While passing over the mountainous region from Mexico to Caracas, we actually saw so many mountains that we doubt whether their height, length, and breadth have been properly measured. Therefore, as indicated in Srimad Bhagavatam by Sukadeva Goswami, we should not try to comprehend the greater mountainous areas of the universe merely by our calculation. Sukadeva Goswami has already stated that such calculations would be very difficult even if one had a duration of life like that of Brahma. We should simply be satisfied with the statements of authorities like Sukadeva Goswami and appreciate how the entire cosmic manifestation has been made possible by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The measurements given herein, such as 10,000 yojanas or 100,000 yojanas, should be considered correct because they have been given by Sukadeva Goswami. Our experimental knowledge can neither verify nor disprove the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. We should simply hear these statements from the authorities. If we can appreciate the extensive energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that will benefit us. Om Jnani Timrandhasya Jnananjan Shalakaya Chakshulmenitamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitamena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Supadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutpadikamlam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagaraghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagan Lalita Shivishakhanvitansha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Deen Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanto Radha Kanto Namostute Tapti Kanchan Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishwanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpitaru Bhayasya Kripa Sindhu Vaivicha Patita Name Pavane Vyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukum Kuroti Vachalam Pungam Langhiti Girim Yat Kripatam Hum Deshi Gurum Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyeshwaram. So this is the description of Jambudip in the fifth canto. Now I'm going to first of all speak on the reasons why Parikshit Maharaj has requested Sukadeva Goswami to speak about mountains. It's a very precarious situation for Parikshit Maharaj. He is about to die in 7 days. So how would you justify hearing about mountains when you are supposed to hear about Krishna and think of Krishna? Must be a reason. So there are two inquiries very similar. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna also asked Krishna to speak about his opulences in the 10th chapter. So Krishna spoke in the 10th chapter his opulences by which he can be seen. Now here is the reason Arjuna gives. Chapter 10, verses 15 onwards. Okay. 17. Katham vidyamaham yogim tvam sada parichintayan kesu kesu cha bhaveshu chintuvasi bhagunmaya. O Krishna, O Supreme Mystic, how shall I constantly think of you? And how shall I know you? And what various forms are you to be remembered, O Supreme Personality of Godhead? Next verse. Vistarin Atmano Yogam Vibhutim Cha Janardhan Bhuya Kathay Tiptrihi Sramatu Nasti Me Amritam. Second region. O Janardhan, again please describe in detail the mystic power of your opulences. I'm never satiated in hearing about you, for the more I hear, the more I want to taste the nectar of your words. So the two reasons given here. And after hearing these reasons, Krishna agreed to speak about his opulences. But the Lord also warned Arjuna. He made him aware of that actually all the opulences cannot be described. So he says, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Hantati Kathishyami, Dibya Hyatma Bhutya, Pradhanyataha Kurusrestha, Nastyantu Vistarasame. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, yes, I will tell you of my splendorous manifestations, but only of those which are prominent, O Arjuna, for my opulence is limitless. So in this chapter, then Krishna goes on describing his opulences. And amongst those opulences, these two mountains have been mentioned, which we will discuss today. One is Meru, which is the gold mountain, mountain of gold. And another one is Himalaya. So Krishna says, Isthavaranam Himalaya. Yajnanam japayasmi isthavaranam Himalaya. Amongst non-movable, I am Himalaya. Now before that, in text 8, Krishna has already said, Aham sarvasya prabhu. So everything emanates from Krishna. And elsewhere, the Lord says, Maya dhakshan prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Under my supervision, the material nature creates suyate, gives birth. Sa acharacharam, sachar acharam. So char means moving, sachar means those who are moving, achar means those who are not moving. So mountains are not moving, they are immovable. But there are some mountains that move. In Valmiki Ramayana, there is a story of flying mountains. So when Hanumanji, he was crossing the ocean, going to Sri Lanka, one mountain came. Somebody knows the name of the mountain? Manak. Manak Parvat. So he came out of the ocean and stopped Hanuman's way to Sri Lanka. So Hanuman said, who are you and why are you coming like this? So moving. Manak was moving. He was under the sea, but he came out. The modern geologists have found that the mountains which you see on the surface of the earth are actually very less in comparison to the mountains which are in the ocean. What is the highest peak, the highest mountain is Mount Everest in Nepal. It is 8,000 miles, so 8,000 kilometers high. But what you hear in Srimad Bhagavatam is so massive. Nothing is less than 10,000 yojanas, which means 80,000 miles. 2,000 miles, which is 8,000. So Mount Everest looks like a tiny, you know, baby mountain in comparison to these mountains which we are going to hear in Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Mount Menak came, and then he told this story and the reason why he came out of the ocean. He said, your father had helped me once because I was so proud of my wings. So imagine the mountains with wings. Wings, huh? They can fly. Flying mountains. Imagine the chaos if all the mountains were given the wings to fly. What chaos will be there? There are some flying mountains. The aeroplanes are like flying mountains. They're flying. But not to the extent these mountains, you know, the big body mountains. So this Menak used to fly all the time and create chaos. So Indra, once he cut his wings, he attacked him and cut his wings and told him to remain in the ocean. Don't come out. So Vayudev, when his wings were cut, Menak Parvats, Menak Mountain, his wings were cut, so he took him to safety. So this time, when Menak Mountain saw Hanumanji, he wanted to pay him back, return his favor, his father's favor. So Hanumanji is the son of Vayudev, wind god. So he wanted to return his favor. He said, you're going to Sri Lanka, I know, but just rest. Rest for a moment. Hanumanji said, no, I'm going with a mission of Lord Ramachandra, so there's no rest for me. So Hanumanji put his hand and he went inside, underneath the ocean. So the geologists are saying that the mountains which are under the ocean, they are actually higher than what you find on earth. So this is all Krishna's opulence. Now here, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, when the description of Meru Parvat comes, or Isthavaranam Himalaya. Prabhupada said, Himalaya is immovable. But Meru, he moves sometimes. I'm using the word he intentionally because these mountains have personalities. Can you think of a mountain which has a personality? Giriraj Govardhan ki. And Himalaya, mentioned here, Himalaya. He also has a personality. And a very prominent personality born as the daughter of Himalaya. You know the name? Mother Parvati. Yeah. Mother Parvati is the daughter of Himavan or Himalaya. There's a story in the scriptures that by seeing the opulence of Himalaya, because Himalaya became the father-in-law of Lord Shiva. Very powerful position. So, Vindhya Mountain, another mountain. Vindhya Mountain is in North India, Uttar Pradesh, where I come from. And in my childhood, I was taken to Vindhya Mountain. Vindhya is also important. In fact, more important than Himalaya. Because at Vindhya Mountain, Srimati Radharani was born, actually. Radharani was found by Vrishabhanu Maharaj lying in the lotus petal. But before that, she was actually born to Vindhya, Vindhya Parvat, Vindhya Mountain. So he became quite aggrieved seeing the opulence of Himavan, that he has such a nice daughter like Parvati and such a nice, powerful son-in-law like Lord Shiva. So he said, I must have something better. So he worshipped Lord Vishnu, Krishna. And he wanted Lord's consort, Srimati Radharani, to be born as his daughter. And the Lord then becomes his son-in-law. So Vindhya Mountain became father of Srimati Radharani. And then Putna, she was taking the babies around. She was going and capturing these babies. So she also took Srimati Radharani. And by that time, the Brahmana chanted some mantra. So Putna, out of fear, she dropped Srimati Radharani in Yamuna. And she fell in this lotus petal. And Maharaj Vrishabhanu was taking his noon bath. And he saw this most beautiful golden baby, Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani ki? So mountains have personalities. And they are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam for a reason. Because they have personality. And here, as we discuss Arjuna's reason to hear Krishna's opulences, two reasons. One is that he wants to think of Krishna. Kesu kesu cha bhavesu chintavasi bhagavan maya. My dear Lord, how would I think of you? So Krishna, Arjuna wants to think of Krishna by seeing all around him. Yumam pashyati sarvatra, sarvam cha mai pashyati, tasyaham na punashyami, sacham na punashyati. Krishna says, one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, to whom Krishna does not become unmanifest. So Krishna is always manifest to somebody who sees him everywhere. In mountains, in rivers, in human beings, in stars, in sun, in the moon, in the air, in earth, in the smell, everywhere he sees Krishna. And these opulences have been described in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Vibhuti Yoga. So first reason, and secondly, Arjuna is not tired of hearing about Krishna. He wants to hear more. Although Krishna has already described his opulences, he has already described Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verses 8 to 11. So whole Bhagavad Gita has been described in nutshell, in four verses, but he wants to hear more. And Prabhupada quotes the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Vayam tuna vitti prama uttam shloki vikrame yat chanvatam rasagyanam swadu swadu pade pade. That one can never be satiated even though one continuously hears the transcendental pastimes of Krishna who is glorified by excellent prayers. The swadu swadu pade pade. Shri Radha Gopinath ji ki jaye. Jagannath Bhadra Subhadrama ai ki jaye. Shri Gonita ai ki jaye. Swadu swadu pade pade. This is the point. The devotee relishes Krishna's pastimes, his names, in every syllable. If every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna, then fifth canto must also be Krishna. Isn't it? And if fifth canto is also Krishna, then the 16th chapter must be also Krishna. And if 16th chapter is also Krishna, then the description of mountain must be also Krishna. So it is Krishna. And the devotees take so much pleasure in hearing about it. So similar request has been put forward to Shukdev Goswami by Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit. In text 3. I'm just going to read very quickly. Text 3. So comparing two requests, two inquiries. One by Maharaj Parikshit to Shukdev Goswami to hear about the opulences of Krishna. And then another inquiry by Arjuna to Krishna himself. Similar. Same kind of request. भगवत गुणमय स्थूल रूपम आवेशितम मनो हि अगुण अपि सूक्ष्मतम आत्म ज्योतिषि परे ब्रह्मणि भगवती वासुदेवाख्ये क्षमम आवेशितम तद हि एतद् गोरोर अर्हस्य अनुवर्णितम इति. This is the reason Maharaj Parikshit is giving. When the mind is fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His external feature, made of the material modes of nature, the gross universal form, it is brought to the platform of pure goodness. So when we hear the description of the material energy, how it is manifest in relation to Krishna, then our mind becomes situated in pure goodness. So that's the reason why the devotees, they keep hearing. Whether it's the description of the mountain, or the rivers, or trees, in Srimad Bhagavatam, they keep hearing. In that transcendental position, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, who in his subtler form is self-effulgent, and beyond the modes of nature. O my Lord, please describe vividly how that form which covers the entire universe is perceived. So can you see the similarity? Yeah. The similarity of the question Maharaj Parikshit is asking, that how can he see, perceive the Lord in material nature? And similar question Arjuna is putting to Krishna. Kesu kesu cha bhavesu Chintuvasi Bhagavan Maya. Similar question, similar inquiry. So that was the justification or the reason behind these inquiries. Now, little more discussion about the mountain. So many great personalities took the form of mountain. Some of them are Krishna himself, like Suresh Prabhu mentioned, Giriraj Govardhan. So Krishna appeared in the form of Govardhan in the 10th canto in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Krishna book Prabhupada mentions that Krishna said, when the Brijavasis were bringing the offering to Giriraj, he was eating and eating and eating and eating. So more was cooked, more was eaten. More was cooked, more was consumed. It kept on being like that, more and more and more and more. And because of the more and more and more and more, there is a village in Govardhan called Anyor. An, in Brijavasana, An means bring. Anyor, or means more. Similar like in English. Bring more, bring more, bring more. So it became Anyor, Anyor, Anyor. So Krishna was eating all these offerings. And Nanda Maharaj became kind of perplexed. This is not good. What's happening here? Nanda Maharaj was very opulent. Gopi Singh, in the 10th canto, Jayati Tedhikam. This is the opulence, Mother Lakshmi is actually staying in Vrindavan. She stays in Vrindavan, in Biloban. She is still staying in Vrindavan. So Lakshmi was staying in Vrindavan. Therefore, Vrindavan was very opulent. So Nanda Maharaj became perplexed. Then Sri Balaramji, the crash jewel of all intelligent people, he understood his perplexity. So he found a solution to this problem, that Krishna was eating too much. He took a tulsi leaf and put it in Giriraj's mouth, Krishna's mouth, Govardhan's mouth, and he became satisfied. So that's one personality, mountain, Giriraj. Then Lord Brahma becomes a mountain in Nandagram. So the hill of Nandagram is Lord Brahma. Then Lord Vishnu also becomes a mountain in Barsana. So hill of Barsana is Lord Vishnu. Then Lord Anand Shesh, think how everybody is becoming a mountain now. Why should I be behind? See, he also becomes a mountain. And that mountain is Tirumala in Tirupati. Yadunandan Maharaj, probably, Maharaj, you going to Tirupati? No, okay. But yeah, there are some devotees going to Tirupati for GVC meetings. So they will be taken to darshan of Tirupati Balaji. So he became mountain, Anantashes. When Sri Ramanujacharya, he visited Tirupati, Tirumala, then he did not step on the mountain. He went, you know, with his knees. So he did not step on the mountain. And there was a great devotee of Lord Balaji, Annamaya Acharya. So he was traveling and fasting. So he had taken a vow that until I see Lord Balaji, Venkateshwar, I would not eat or drink. So he was traveling, but he was wearing shoes when he was going on the mountain. So he could not see, and he became bewildered. Then Mother Lakshmi came in the form of an old woman and made him aware of that you would not see the Lord of your heart unless you take his shoes off. So he took his shoes off, and then he was able to see. So I was telling the story of Ramanujacharya. He went on his knees. How difficult it is to walk on your knees. You know, we come to the temple, offer our obeisances. And sometimes if you are sitting on your knees, it's difficult. But he was walking on his knees. When he was asked by his disciples, then he said that this Tirumala is non-different from Lord Anantashesh. So how can I step on Anantashesh? Although he is Anantashesh himself. So he showed it as an Acharya that how we should respect. Similarly, the devotees in Krishna consciousness movement, when we go for Giriraj Parikrama, we never ever go on the top of Giriraj, do we? No, we don't go. Brijvasis can go, that's different. But we don't go. On the top of Govardhan, there's a temple. So as devotees, we never ever step on Govardhan because this is Krishna. So all these personalities, they took the form of mountain. And this is all because Krishna manifests himself in the form of mountain. Like he says in Bhagavad Gita, Isthavaravanam Himalaya. Amongst the non-movable, I am Himalaya. Meru Sikharinamiham. Amongst the great, highest peaks, great mountains are Meru, Meru Parvat. Meru is made of gold. Now, the atheistic class of people or non-believers, they may say that this is all fiction, this is all fictitious. Because now we don't see any Meru. If we could see any Meru, if the mountain of gold can be seen, then all the economic crisis will go. Economic problem will be solved, isn't it? Just like the Middle East, they have nothing. They only have sand. They can't grow anything. But they have got something very valuable, and that is petroleum. So petroleum is known as liquid gold. And because of petroleum, Middle East is very opulent. When you pass through, you know, airports like Dubai, you see how opulent it is. Middle East is very opulent because the liquid gold is there. Now, in Bharatvarsh, there is whole mountain of gold. So where it is? Where is it now? 5,000 years ago, Maharaj Yudhishthir was actually worried that how he is going to do Rajasvi Yajna. Because Rajasvi Yajna is very, very expensive. The description is there that during Rajasvi Yajna, there were the lakes of ghee, the lakes of milk, lakes. So much ghee and milk was consumed. So how he is going to gather all this? Then Arjuna asked him, My dear brother, why are you so unhappy? He said, Narad Muni has told me a message from our father Pandu, from the heavenly planet, that I must perform Rajasya Yajna to glorify Krishna. I want to do it, but I don't have money to do it. So then Arjuna said, don't worry, I'll gather the money for you. So Arjuna went around conquering all these states, and particularly he went to Meru Parvat, because he knew Meru is a mountain of gold. So Arjuna collected gold, so much gold, for the sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhishthira, that his name became what? Dhananjay. Dhananjay. One who conquers wealth, particularly gold. So this Meru Parvat, golden mountain, is still there, but it's not visible in this Kali Yuga, we must say. In a purport, Prabhupada also mentions that Meru Parvat, Meru Mountain, is famed for its riches in natural resources. So there are so many natural resources. Now how do we take the information contained in Srimad Bhagavatam? Because some of the information in Srimad Bhagavatam is factual, and some of the information is allegorical. Everybody knows this, yeah? Yeah? Allegorical. One of the famous allegory in Srimad Bhagavatam, in fourth canto, is King Puranjan. Allegory, story. And all other information in Srimad Bhagavatam is factual. So whether this description of Srimad Bhagavatam is factual or allegorical, what's the opinion here? There's so many learned personalities sitting here. Suresh Prabhu, Yadunandan Maharaj. Is it factual or is it allegorical? Yeah, description of mountains, fifth canto. Factual. Yeah. Suresh Prabhu? Oh. This description of Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto, is it actual, factual, or allegorical? Clever answer. Okay, so it's factual. Now somebody may say, why we don't see Meru Parvat in Bharatavarsa? Why we don't see it? So some of these personalities, they manifest themselves only to people who are qualified. One example. When Lord Ramchandra was fighting a battle in Sri Lanka, then because of the Shakti weapon of Meghnad, Lakshman became unconscious. And then the royal physician of Ramana told that he can only be revived if Sanjeevani Bhuti, this herb, is brought to him from Himalayas. So Hanumanji went. But when he went there, he found that that area was protected by the demigods. So then he had to pray to the demigods there. And actually he was told by Sushena Vedya, the physician of Ramana, that you must pray, otherwise these herbs would not manifest to you, because they are protected. So then he prayed, and the demigods, when they understood that his purpose of bringing these herbs was actually for the service of Lord Ramchandra, then all the herbs, they became manifest. Sanjeevani, especially Sanjeevani Bhuti, or the herb known as Sanjeevani, which can revive a dying man to life. So that's one understanding. Like Suresh Prabhu was saying, that it's higher dimension of being factual. So they are there and they are not there. Meru Parvat is there and Meru is not there. Otherwise, what will happen nowadays, that's the reality. This is not a story. I told so many stories. They are also factual. But this is also factual, what I'm saying. That some of the crooked people, nowadays in India, this is a fashion. They are going and actually excavating mountains. So they found that the hills of Barsana, they have so much minerals, gold, diamond, everything. So they wanted to excavate, completely destroy the hills of Barsana. This is factual. So mountains, they are also known as Ratnakar or Ratnagar. Ratna means the jewels. So many jewels are born from mountains. They come from mountains. So people in Kali Yuga, they have gone so mad that they want to destroy the hills of Barsana, the hills of Nandgram, for finding the jewels. Leaving the real jewel of all jewels, Krishna, they want to find these stones. So this is Kali Yuga. And that's real. Okay, I'm just going to end here. There are 5 minutes left. Okay, to summarize these two verses, there's a description of mountain in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly Himalaya mountain and Meru Parvat. But for devotees, this kind of description is as enjoyable, as relishable, as nectarian, as anything else in Srimad Bhagavatam, because everything is a manifestation of Krishna, Krishna's opulence. So I would stop here. Any comments or questions? Okay. I hope whatever I said was clear with my Indian accent. But this is international society. Somebody said you got Indian accent. I said yes. But this is international society of Krishna consciousness. So you have to prepare yourself to hear Indian accent, Polish accent, Bulgarian accent, Chinese accent. As long as it is clear what I was saying. Any comments, questions? I must say that I felt a bit nervous seeing so many learned personalities sitting here. But hopefully. Yes, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. You are the Bhakti Bhava teacher, not me. Maharaj? Okay, I was told by Manohar Prabhu to end the class exactly at 8:45. I've got 3 minutes left. So I respect the time. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, it can be a challenge for devotees that what is allegorical can be taken factual, what is factual can be taken allegorical. So in order to resolve this dilemma, we just take shelter of the commentaries of Srila Prabhupada and previous acharyas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has made distinction what is allegorical, what is factual. So we just take shelter. Now we just learn from the acharyas. And Prabhupada, having imbibed all the essence of the commentaries of Astacharyas, all the great acharyas, he never spares a moment in making it clear what is allegorical. Like the allegory of Puranjan. Prabhupada gives elaborate purports. How this is allegory. Okay, shall we end here? Mataji, any question or comment? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Pramanande, Hari Hari Bhavan. Thank you, That's all right. Thank you, bro. Thank you, bro. Thanks.